the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. Well, today's Advent, and we're thinking about preparing for Christmas, but of course, we're also thinking about the fact that Jesus is coming and returning, in the sense of Jesus will come back to visit this earth. That's why we sang 6:8:1, "Now the King of the Ages approaches the earth." This idea of being ready for when Christ might come. And the fact that Christ might come gives us a responsibility that we should not be found wanting when he returns, that we should be about the Lord's work, so that we will be faithful and vigilant, which is why we've just sung, "Revive thy work, O Lord," so that we'll be faithful in all the little things of life, so that if Jesus was to turn up and say, "So what have you been doing?" we could say, "Well, we've been working hard for you, Lord." So that's what Advent is about. So that's the Advent sermon done. Now we're going to have some fun. I was thinking, we're doing Advent 1 this week, and it's the patriarchs, and we remember Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all those fathers of our faith. And we remember that as Christians, our history as a faith is a Jewish one. It's the Old Testament. When Christ came along and he talked about the scriptures, it was the Old Testament that he was talking about. When the early Christians read the Bible, it was the Old Testament that they read. So it's all those characters from the Old Testament. And I thought, what we ought to do then is look at the Jesse tree. And who knows what a Jesse tree is? Jesse's rod. Well, we'll look at that then in a moment. We'll look at that in a moment, Gene. I was talking to Sam about this last night, and the last time we did the Jesse tree at St. Mark's was 2001. And I went back, and it's on the internet there. And, of course, that was before the days of digital projectors and all this kind of stuff. So when we wanted to do a tree, we had to get a real one. So I chopped the tree down and brought it into church, and we hung symbols on the tree. And, of course, then we had to get it to Putnam. So Sam reminded me that we pushed it through the sunroof of my car, and he held on to it absolutely to the sunroof. We drove it down to Putnam. But today we've got it much easier because we've got these digital things, so we can just do it so easily. So Christians hang symbols from the story of our faith leading up to the birth of Jesus. That's the little symbols that we're going to put on the tree in a moment. Christian history is fundamentally Jewish. Well, I said that. And the history of Israel is the history of our faith. And Jesus is the promised Messiah. Jesus is the one. And now this is what's so sad, of course. Because all the Jewish scriptures point to Jesus. But if you're stuck in the Old Testament, you don't acknowledge him for who he is. So the great fulfillment of the Jewish hopes, as we recognize in the Messiah Jesus, is not recognized by the Jewish people themselves. So this is what's so terribly sad. The promised Messiah has never ever been understood by the ones who proclaimed him. And Jesus is the one foretold in the scripture, and his birth is the fulfillment of God's promises to his people. So let's move on. And this is what Jean was talking about. Vera was talking about. Vera, you said Jesse. Yeah. So where does the term Jesse tree come from? The term is taken from a passage in Isaiah, which is then repeated. And you'll hear this in the Christmas readings as we go through Christmas, so that's why this is all important. "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." See, it's all tree stuff. It's like, I don't know if you did this, but on Remembrance Sunday, you could go on ancestry.co.uk for free. Did anyone do that? Oh, I did it. And and you can look up your relatives. And it's quite interesting because I typed in Charles Royden, because I know that there was a Charles Royden who fought in the First World War. And up came his records, you know, on the screen, actual photo of his records, war records. You know, fascinating stuff. I'm not advertising ancestry.co.uk here, but it is a fascinating thing to be able to go back and look at a hereditary tree and see where all you... Does anyone do this? Yes, some of you do this. It's fascinating, isn't it? It's compulsive, isn't it? It is, Errol. So you can go back and look at this. Well, this is Jesus' family tree that we're looking at today. This is essentially Jesus' family tree. That's what the Jesse tree is all about. And who was Jesse? Who knows who this is? It's all quiz this morning. Who knows who Jesse was? David's daddy. That's right. King David's father. So let's move on. There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him shall the Gentiles trust. So it's come forward into the New Testament as well, into Romans, this expression of Jesse. So when you hear it, you'll know. See, aren't we learning a lot this morning already? You see? It's fascinating. So here's the Jesse tree, and here are the symbols that we're going to be looking at. And they're very easy, so we'll whip through this. What's the first one? Who's the first one? Adam and Eve. The little apple. And what does Adam mean, the word Adam? Yeah. Means man. Thank you. Thank you, Alice. It means man. And so we think of Jesus coming from the first created. Which character is this? A bit harder. It's not. What is it? It's a... What kind of Cain? What kind of Cain? Not Cain at all. Someone said it. What kind of Cain it is? It's a walking Cain who walked. Abraham. Because God told Abraham to go to where the Chaldees, didn't he? He told the man, that poor old Abraham, who was perfectly happy probably where he was, you've got to leave behind the familiar, and you've got to go to this new land that I'm promising you. And if you do this, I will bless you, and all the nations of the world will be blessed through you. We had it in our reading this morning, didn't we? So Abraham had to trust that God would fulfill his promises. And so he had to leave behind what he liked and knew and go on to unfamiliar territory and hope that God was going to be faithful to his word. And because he trusted and found that blessing, he's an example to us of faith. That when God says to us, I will do this for you, that God will be faithful to his promises. So Abraham's a really important father of our faith. He encourages us. And you remember in Hebrews it talks about Abraham being this wonderful figure of faith. To encourage us to have faith in God. Even when, you know, we're taking God on trust. So that's Abraham. This is an easy one. Mentioned in our Bible reading today, Noah. Yes, Noah who built his ark and was able to be rescued with all the animals. Not literally all the animals. Lots of animals. There was a lot of water and a lot of animals. And he's an example of trusting God again. Noah. Who's this? It's Egyptians, so it would be... Moses. No, it's not Moses. Joseph. Thank you. It's Joseph. We haven't had... Because Joseph comes before Moses. That's all. Yeah. I mean, it could have been Moses. But it's... We haven't... We've got one first. So it's not that you were wrong. That's what I'm saying. See? It's Joseph. It's Joseph. And then Joseph, of course, he went to Egypt. And you remember all the problems that happened there with the dreams and all that kind of stuff. And then... Oh, this is a surprise. I didn't realise that one came next. Sorry, there's a little slight deviation here. Who is it? It's Jacob. Jacob's ladder. Yeah, we've got a slight historical deviance here, so don't worry about that. Jacob's ladder. Do you remember Jacob? Yeah. Jacob, nice and all that. Nice. Yes. Jacob. And then this is where it should have been after Joseph. This is Moses. And Moses, if you remember, rescued the people from Egypt. He brought them out of slavery. That's right. And he gave the people these wonderful... tablets of the law. And what's he blowing there? A ram's horn, a shofar. That's right. That's right. Yeah. So, Moses. And then, who's this? Jonah. That's wonderful. Yes, we have Jonah on our tree. swallowed by a whale. These are stories of our faith. Ah, it's a more difficult this. This is for those who think the quiz is too easy so far. So, what is this? It's not Canaan, no. Yes, who said that? Oh, well done, Pam. Yes, well. It's time we had a woman. Well, I thought it was time we had a woman. And of course, interestingly enough, in the genealogies of Jesus, there are women. And that was quite, you know, that was quite something really. And some of them were not necessarily the kind of women you'd want to remember in your family history. Ruth was a nice, you know, respectable woman, but in Luke's you find in the other genealogy that there are some dubious characters there. So this is Ruth. And David, yes. I got this Begorra. Yeah, you spotted it. David wasn't Irish. This is a harp. And of course, David soothed King Saul, didn't he? When he played the harp. And Saul was the first king of Israel. And here is David. He comes along. King David. And who's this? Solomon, the wisdom of Solomon. That's right, King Solomon, David's son. And that's, I think, all your pictures now. So what I've just got is just three quick slides, because we never really read these in church very much. It'd be a bit hard, really, to just plough through all these names. But you can see Matthew's Gospel starts off with a record of the genealogy of Jesus, the son of David. This is the kind of thing that Jesus would have done if he'd gone onto ancestry.co.uk. And it starts off on this one with Abraham, goes through Isaac, Jacob, lots of names that we've never heard of. Boaz, you see, whose mother was Rahab. Rahab was a woman of ill repute. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse. Do you see Jesse's in there? And Jesse, the father of King David. But nice to see those women cropping up. David, the father of Solomon. And then it goes through with all of these kings. Right down to the bottom of the exile to Babylon. Next slide. After the exile to Babylon, it goes all the way through. Brings it down. Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who's called the Christ. And this is quite interesting, of course, because it says, thus there were 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to Christ. And of course, 14 being this very wonderful, perfect number to try and show how, you know, Jesus's background was all preparing him for this wonderful messiahship. And so 14 wanted the writer wanting to break down the genealogy into these blocks. And of course you can see the way, therefore, in which Matthew very carefully puts his gospel together. He doesn't just drag these names out and throw them on the page. He plans it very, very carefully. And this is what the gospels are like. They're put together very, very meticulously and carefully. And so there is our Jesse tree, with all of the different characters, but you could put lots and lots more on. They remind us of our heritage as Christians. And one of the things that they do for me, as well as just reminding us of the history of our faith, which I think is important as we remember the birth of Jesus, when you look back on these characters, you see how important they were, how pivotal each one of these people were for us as Christians. And when I look at them, I realise, wow, you know, some of them weren't that great. I mean, we've looked at some of the individuals who, as I said, you wouldn't necessarily want in your family tree, or you'd perhaps try and, you know, pretend they weren't there. But some of the things that these characters got up to were really quite flawed. King David himself was quite a flawed individual. And yet we see how God used them and incorporated them into his eternal plan. And that gives us all hope, that we take a fundamentally important part in God's purposes, even though we're weak and feeble and sometimes prone to make mistakes. Nevertheless, were important in God's family tree and part of Christ's purposes here on earth. Amen.